Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to this week's Failed Critics podcast. I'm Steve Norman. This week I'm joined by Owen Hughes.
Hello.
As we take a look at the Justice League movie as our main review for this week. Apologies we've not been with you since Thor Ragnarok. But we only
get together today for superheroes.
Yes. Yeah. Superheroes and Star Wars is all we're doing from now on. and Owen won't be with us for Star Wars.
No, I get kicked off the podcast.
Yeah, it'll be me, Paul, and a man called Chris Packett Dave.
That's his proper name, yeah. That's his full title.
Yes, apparently it's
all his post is delivered to Chris Packett Dave.
Apparently it's because he collects old Chris Packett, because before Paul told me the origin of that nickname, I was really worried about what it was going to be about.
Yeah,
I thought
the old urban legend about using Chris Packets and elastic bands. That's what you're thinking.
I was definitely thinking something about Chris Packets and wanking.
Yeah,
luckily that wasn't the case. But no, we've not been with you for a little while, but we are with you now, and we will get to Justice League eventually. No quiz. I've long forgotten what the score was anyway, but it never worked for just two of us.
Yeah, so. I can't even. Were you supposed to watch a Were you supposed to watch a film?
I think I was supposed to watch, I want to say, Neon Demon.
Oh, you were, yeah.
And
the Neon Demon.
And I think I did, but I can't remember.
You think you did? You think you watched
it? Yeah, it sounds like something I'd remember.
Yeah, so, I think you would have remembered.
Anyway, let's move on to the news. And we've decided to avoid inappropriate touching in the news.
As in, like, of ourselves and each other?
No, we're not. I'm not avoiding that as we speak. No. But
that's still fair game.
Other people and what people have been doing to each other that they shouldn't have been is too much for us. We're meant to be lighthearted, and that's definitely not. But there is one big bit of news that came out while we've had a hiatus from recording, and that was that Rian Johnson has been given his own Star Wars trilogy. Before The Last Jedi has been released, and all we know is that this trilogy will take place in a different part of the galaxy and not involve any of the characters from the main saga. I think there's also going to be a live-action Star Wars TV show being made, nothing to do with Rian Johnson, that one, but it's also something that Disney announced in the last few weeks. But as a big Star Wars fan, that makes me quite positive about The Last Jedi, because you would have thought if Disney and the studio weren't sure about The Last Jedi and how it would be received, they wouldn't have given him this trilogy until it had come out and people had said what they think about what he's done in charge of Star Wars film, or even the box office. Well, the box office is going to be fantastic anyway, whether it's a good or bad film. But
I literally think they don't really care. You know, it's gonna make money. They're gonna keep releasing Star Wars films.
Every year. They're gonna do with Star Wars what they've done with Marvel, and whether that is gonna be good or bad, I don't know yet. I mean, based on what they've released so far, which is two films, both which I've loved, and the Rebels TV series. It seems like fantastic, especially if you use Marvel as a basis for it. But just purely with Rian Johnson, they were going to make more Star Wars films anyway. It was going to happen. Episode 9 was going to happen. The Han Solo movie was going to happen. More stuff was going to happen as well. But to give him a trilogy, a whole, not just one other film, a whole trilogy of films, makes me think that they've seen what he's done with The Last Jedi by now. Obviously, it's a month away from release. So people who've been involved in the film and executives have definitely seen it. They've seen it, think it's amazing, and they've gone, right, you can do three more.
Mm.
You know, if he had done an okay job, or even a above average job, or a crap job, they wouldn't have said now, before the general public have seen it and rated it, you can have three more films to do. You can have your own Star Wars trilogy to do.
I mean, just because they've said that's what they're going to do doesn't mean that's what they'll follow through on. I mean, they could just have the first film, it just bombs spectacularly, but they still want to tell the story. And so, okay, we'll drop Rian Johnson and add, you know, Mark Webb or something.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, lots could happen, but it makes me positive about The Last Jedi more than it makes me positive about anything else, let's say. Makes me think The Last Jedi is going to be pretty good if they've made a statement and let him have that before the film's even been released. Like, if the film had been released, everybody loves it, universal success, and they went, okay, well, everyone loves that one, let's give him three more.
Mm.
But before it's even been seen by the general public, some people somewhere think he's done that good a job, which makes me really positive about The Last Jedi.
Well,
here comes the voice of negativity.
Yeah, as always, I like to think it's more a voice of, you know, realism. And no, I just think that they just don't care. That's my they literally don't give a shit. They're going to keep putting Star Wars stuff out there until it stops making money, and that's just not going to happen. You know what they'll probably do is kill nostalgia for Star Wars by oversaturating the whole sort of franchise, basically, by having loads of different films exploring the most boring, minutest of details within the universe.
George Lucas did that with the prequels, though, because they're about trade routes and
exactly
trade blockades and precisely meetings.
And they're going to make sure they always all tie into the original some way, because otherwise they lose their value. You know, if they're not part of that original trilogy, like where it all began, in some way, then whether it's a continuation of the story, whether it's the Han Solo movie, which is like a prequel thing, or whatever it may be, then it's going to lose the thing that gives it its USP. Because otherwise, they're just making a fantasy story, and you know, there's no point tying that to Star Wars then. No. So that's what I think. I think they're just going to make more, and they'll keep making more. And I've lamented on this podcast in the past about the fact that they've killed off the Christmas blockbuster now, because no one else is going to release any blockbuster. I mean, I used to like going to see The Hobbits at Christmas, you know, I didn't really go and see the Harry Potter films, but you know, there was always the big blockbuster. No one's going to compete with Star Wars. It's just, you go see Star Wars at Christmas, so you don't see anything, you know. So that's what I feel about it. I think they've ruined Christmas.
That's a bold statement, really. Ruined Christmas.
Yeah, I didn't know where I was going with that statement, so I thought, oh, well. I'm also going to be incredibly obnoxious on this podcast and start eating cough sweets. So I'm really sorry to anyone who's listening, but my voice is just going to disappear unless I do something.
That's fine. On to what we've been watching, and it's been a while, so in theory we've seen a lot.
Well, have we? I've seen one film since
you've been finishing a degree.
Because I'm a student for two more weeks.
I've got no excuse for not doing anything with my life. It's just how I choose to live.
I've been working on a documentary, a short 6-minute documentary, which has taken up so much time, like editing till 2 a.m. and then driving home. It's a subculture documentary, because you know, you get different types of documentary, right? You get nature documentaries, you get historical documentaries. You get fly on the wall documentaries. We're making a subculture documentary, and we decided we'd make it about men's rights activists. People who stand up for men's rights. Because, you know, men are oppressed.
Men are people too.
But men are people too. But also, I spoke to a guy who's head of a political party called Justice for Men and Boys and the Women Who Love Them.
That sounds a lot like NAMBLA.
And, you know, he comes up with his book. I mean, some of it you listen to and you think, you know, we approached it very objectively because we want to give people an opportunity to talk. And so we interviewed people from the Women's Equality Party. We interviewed people from the Fawcett Group, as well as people on the men's rights side of the argument. And they came out with some good points, some interesting points. Suicide rate for men. You know, 75% of all suicides in the UK are men. And it doesn't come down, you know. There's stuff about, well, they call it male genital mutilation, which is circumcision, which is technically actual bodily harm or possibly grievous bodily harm, but is allowed to happen. All this kind of thing, right? And they make some interesting points, but they also say stuff which really, I think, makes them very difficult to side with. Stuff about feminism is a hate cult.
Is it any of this Fathers for Justice lot that dress up as superheroes because they can't look after their kids at weekends?
That's part of their argument, yeah. Like, the court system prejudices men and boys and, you know, gives it preferences women and girls, is what they say. I interviewed MP Philip Davis, very sort of outspoken MP. And he talks about how, you know, the court system, you know, some research took place and basically what it found was that if women were given the same sentences as men for equal crimes, then there would be something like twice as many women in prison. Because women are, you know, not given as strict a sentence as men. Because men are oppressed by the system, by the state. Well, that was his thing. It's not about... Oh, yeah, one of the things he did come out with, which I thought was quite shocking, was he said about... that basically lesbians are feminists and therefore hate men. So feminists hate men and lesbians are feminists, so lesbians and feminists hate men. And I says, well... Surely by the same sort of line of reasoning, all gay men would be men's rights activists. You know,
they bloody love men, don't they?
Yeah.
Really do. They bloody love them. Can't get enough.
Yeah. Yeah. But apparently the gay men were some way back sucked into the cult of feminism. And they, you know, they were brainwashed into being feminists. Instead of men's rights activists.
It seems like mad conspiracy theories at this point.
It's yeah, I mean, so we basically spent, we interviewed about, oh, how many people did we interview in total? Let's see. Six of them made it into the documentary. I reckon we must have interviewed about 12 or 13 people in total. And it's just, the whole week, this is really boring for anyone listening, but I mean, I suppose it's something, a little bit of interesting insight into, like, I personally spent about 50 hours editing to get a 6-minute documentary. There was another person who spent probably the same, if not more than me, editing. She probably spent about 50 to 60 hours editing. And there were two other people who were editing as well. And this is to produce a 6-minute short documentary. It's. I'm absolutely knackered, and you can probably tell from the way I sound. Not very well, no. I've run myself into the ground doing this. So I haven't watched anything really for the past 14, 15 days.
Well,
I'm dying, yeah. Basically.
What is your brand and flavour of choice of cough sweet?
I bought some bog standard cough drops. Yeah. I didn't go for Halls or Lockets or Tunes or anything.
Not soothers.
These are just cough. Not no. soothers,
what,
no.
What flavour are your cough drops?
It's hard to tell. They're just kind of like aniseed-y. Ugh. A bit like aniseed. Yeah, I like them. They're nice.
I don't like aniseed. I'd always go for a berry type flavour. I'm not a fan of honey and lemon. And aniseed, definitely no.
Definitely not aniseed. So I love aniseed and licorice and stuff.
I'd definitely be going for some kind of berry flavour cough sweet, should my throat desire it.
I tell you, if I was buying them from like a petrol station or whatever, and they were just at the counter, I'd go for the Halls that are menthol. I like those ones. The ones, as soon as you put them in your mouth, like every sinus and orifice just opens up as wide as it can, because it just gets a massive shock to the system. I like those ones.
That was it. Yeah. Good.
Five stars for these cough drops.
I've seen some films that I'll go through quickly before me and you talk about The Walking Dead for a bit. So for some reason, yesterday, when I was laid on my sofa in a near vegetative state, I decided to put Hostel on Netflix.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I don't know why I did that. very good. I haven't seen it for a long time, and I put it back on, and I put it on. It's just torture. I just thought they don't make many of those type of films anymore, do they? Don't see it for a while. Around the time Hostel was being made, you couldn't move for just these kind of torture porn. They weren't
for balls out torture.
They
porn.
Weren't horror films so much. Like, you were never scared. It was just disgusting. It was just gory and gruesome for the sake of it. I suppose it's all right, really, but it's.
Well, it's Eli Roth, isn't it? So it's like, excuse me, his shtick was to be part of the what do they call them? The Brat Pack. No, what do they had the name? Splat Pack.
Yes.
Was part of that stable of, James Wan, again, just talking about Saw, was part of that. And the Australian guy who did Rogue that I can't remember the name of. No, it's gone. But, you know, they built their reputations on making these, like, they're just disgusting films as opposed to strong storied kind of typical, stereotypical, conventional horrors. And I think it was kind of a response to the fact that horror was being just so diluted in the mainstream. So they came out and just made the most horrific things possible. Which is good. I mean, I'm glad they did, because it brought horror back from that 90s kind of dirge towards the early 2000s. Yeah. Hostel's a bit shit, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I also saw Blair Witch, the most recent Blair Witch film, which I actually found fairly good.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was quite creepy in place, but it ended too quickly. It just sort of ended all of a sudden out of nowhere. I thought some of the build-up was quite good. It was quite interesting. I was in one of them moods where I was trying to creep myself out, and I almost did, but the ending didn't work for me, so I was fine by the time it finished. Yesterday as well, I watched Cell, which is a film from last year, based on a Stephen King novel, starring John Cusack, Samuel L. Jackson. And the premise of the film is that a sort of mobile phone signal causes anyone using their mobile at the time, or cell phone, hence the name. Doesn't really work so well if you give it the English title, but it turns them into killers if they're using their phone. A tiny signal goes through, and John Cusack and Samuel L. Jackson's characters are survivors of this. The novel, I've not read it, but from reading up on it, it seems to have a bit more to it. Stephen King novels, which obviously there is something to it in terms of plot. In the film, it just degenerates into a pretty by the numbers zombie movie, which is just really disappointing. I mean, you've got two pretty decent actors as the leads, and you've got some what I'd imagine is reasonable source material coming from Stephen King, and they just do like a really bog standard zombie movie, and you just kind of think, what's the point? You've wasted everything you got. You might as well have just not use the source material, saved yourself on the budget and got into much lower key actors and just done the same film. It just seemed like a waste of time for everyone, from the people watching it, like me, to the people who made it. It just seems like much more with it.
I seem to remember Maya Brooker, when she was on the podcast when we did the Stephen King special. I remember her talking about it. She quite liked it, I think. But from what I know of the film, I imagine she's very much in the minority on that one. I don't think it's a very liked film.
I also watched another zombie film. This one was a Danish one. I even watched a film with subtitles, Owen, called What We Become, about a family who live in a suburb of a Danish town. When a virus affects the city, and it's just about the family's struggle trying to deal with the whole situation. Bit of a different take on a zombie film, as it's not like running through the streets and bludgeoning people over the head and some big quest for survival. It's all quite insular and all contained within this little town and this little area of the town. I actually thought it was quite good. It was really good. I mean, for me to sit there and read a film as well as watch it for an hour and a half, there must be something about it. But no, that one's on Sky Go. So if you've got Sky Movies, Sky Plus, whatever, you'll find it on there. It's still on there. It's definitely worth an hour and a half of your time. That's what I've been watching. But The Walking Dead, you haven't been watching. I have been watching.
I haven't watched it for about three seasons, I don't think.
It's now into season 8, and I keep persisting with it, and I don't know why at the moment. It's just awful.
Yeah.
It really is. The biggest problem I noticed with it was in previous seasons was that there were a lot of filler episodes where nothing happens, and I think the people who make the show have taken that advice on board, but still nothing happens. But what they've done in the episodes where literally nothing would happen in previous seasons, now there's lots of action, there's lots of zombies being killed, there's lots of bad guys being killed, even there's some good guys being killed. And it's a kind of all action. It doesn't stop. It's more fast-paced, but still nothing happens. The plot doesn't progress. There's very little character development. But they've kind of tricked people, or tried to trick people, because it's action. So you think something's happening and it's actually not. So we're about 5 or 6 episodes, maybe a couple more into this new season, and really not a lot has happened. And it's kind of sticking to the comics, how the comics went, but that seemed, even that was coming out one issue a month, and that even seems more fast-paced than what this is.
Yeah, I had a text from my younger brother who was watching it after the first couple of episodes, and he asked if I was watching it. I said no. He says it's 30 minutes stretched into 2 hours so far. It's always been, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. The first season was only 6 episodes, which AMC seemed to do with series, or they used to, around the time this was started. Because Breaking Bad's first season was only 6-8 episodes, wasn't it?
Yeah. But that was cut short by the writer's strike. Whereas I think Walking Dead was like,
let's see if people like this before we make loads of it.
Exactly.
All the interesting characters are long gone. I prefer Z Nation at the moment.
You always have though, haven't you?
No, I not always have. I used to really like the war. I like both. But Z Nation is mental. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. It's over the top. But it knows that it is. It's meant to be. It's a sci-fi show. It's made for the Sci-Fi Channel. It's meant to be like that. But in that, I actually feel like they're moving towards something, and there's character progression as well. No matter how bad the actors you think it is, how stupid it is, how ridiculous it is, it's actually stuff happens, and you feel like the characters are moving. You know, you can see their journey. And The Walking Dead, it's just, here's another bad guy. Let's stop this bad guy. And then once they get rid of Negan, because Negan will go, Negan will be stopped, and whether it will be resolved like it is in the comics or whether it will be resolved in a different way will probably depend on how long Jeffrey Dean Morgan wants to stick around on the show. But what will happen next is there's another bad guy they got to kill. I mean, Kirkman, who created the Walking Dead comics and is involved with the show, he's always said he doesn't want to or doesn't like the idea of a cure or finding out what caused the virus or anything. So you can't ever see the show going down that avenue. So you can't ever see them finding a scientist or scientists who are working on a cure, who have a cure, or who know what caused it or anything like that. And you just feel like you're stuck with this group of people and it's just starting to go nowhere. It's like they've written themselves into a dead end. Fear the Walking Dead isn't much better. It's a bit, it's different, but it's not really much better.
It's not even a little bit. It's a huge amount worse. And, I mean, we were just talking about it a little bit before the podcast. I got to like the last, I think it was the last ad break of the last episode in the most recent season. And I thought, I can't even be bothered to watch this last 15 minutes. I'm tired. If I turn it off now, I know I'm never going to come back to it. So I just deleted the lot. I didn't even watch the finale of the final episode. I just couldn't be bothered to sit through even a minute more of it. It's dreadful telly.
I mean, in The Walking Dead as well, they brought back a character in season 8 who hadn't seen since season 1. It was quite a minor character. It's a guy called Morales who, in season 1, Rick, it was at a camp where he met up with his wife and Carl and Shane and, you know, all that group there. And then they decided to move out of there, and they went to Atlanta and they went wherever they went. And Morales and his family, they went to go somewhere else to try and find his family. He turns up in season 8, and you think, oh, this is quite interesting. Somebody from the first season, they could do something with this. No, he's killed within 10 minutes.
Right.
What's the point of bringing him back?
That sounds like what they needed to do was kill someone. And so they thought,
but there's no impact in killing him. Like, he's in 10 minutes of one episode. He's in a standoff with Rick. I don't even care if I spoil it. It's a couple of weeks old now anyway. If you watched The Walking Dead, you would have seen it. And then the next episode, first thing that happens is Daryl puts an arrow through his eye. And so what's the point of bringing him back?
I think it's one of those things that... certainly the comics were used to be very good at this. What they would do is just drop reminders a lot that nobody is ever safe. And so when something seemed like, you know, they brought in a new character, like, okay, this is going to change the dynamic a bit now, and then they would die. It was a reminder that, because you sometimes forget, because the world they write and they create is often, it gets to this point where it's very stable, and it feels like things are settling down. And so they go, well, you know, it's still a savage world. People still kill other people. Here's someone, and now they're dead. And so maybe it was trying to do that. Yeah,
it didn't do it very well.
Maybe not. I mean,
I keep persevering with it. I just start thinking, why? Why am I persevering with it? It's not giving me anything. It's just... I think,
you can always drop it. Yeah. That's what I always... if you're not enjoying it.
I need to give it an end date. And this might help with... a lot of shows, actually, if they say this show is going to last 10 seasons, 8 seasons, 6, 2, whatever, then they know where they've got to end it by and finish it by, and they've got a target to get it all resolved by, rather than it just keep going on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
Because they gave Game of Thrones an end date, and they gave Lost an end date, and in the plot started to resolve itself, but then whether it does it satisfactorily, I don't know. But it's just sort of, you could just see The Walking Dead going on forever at this average kind of, you know, until people stop watching. And people don't look like they still stop watching. I think the viewing figures have dropped in general, or in America they have, but they're still high.
Yeah,
I think as well that something like the show, like The Talking Dead, is just pointless because it's never, because it's made by the network, it's never critical.
No, we did talk about this quite recently, didn't we? Yeah, it's just you know, it's just it's advertising for its own show, basically. Which, you know, fair enough. You can't blame them. It's quite cheap to make. Yeah. Sometimes they're quite interesting to watch. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm not. I stopped watching Walking Dead not because I found it boring. I literally got rid of Sky.
Yeah.
And got BT, and BT doesn't have Fox, so I couldn't watch it as it was on, and I didn't miss it. So I thought, well, never mind then. Oh well. Never went back to it. And I haven't really felt the urge to do it. My dad downloaded them and said, I'll send them across to you. And I said, well, you can if you like, but I'm not in any rush to do it. And he did send me a link for them. I just didn't even download it from that.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, I'm perfectly happy without it, thanks. I am not going back to that. But I'll tell you what I did do. One post-apocalyptic piece of fiction I did go back to recently. I bought the Mad Max Fury Road Black and Chrome edition.
Right.
Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
Do you know what this is? Yeah. Yeah. So, benefit of anyone listening, it's the same film, but in black and white. And George Miller, director of Mad Max Fury Road, so this is the film that came out in 2015, you know, the fourth Mad Max film. He said that it was the way the film was meant to be seen. And I just thought, well, he would say that, wouldn't he? Because he's just released a new version of it. He would say this is how it's supposed to be seen.
Yeah.
But I gave it a go anyway. And the issue apparently with the colour version that George Miller had was because it was in the desert, everything is either orange or blue because you've either got the sand or the sky. And so to make it more interesting, they really had to saturate the colours, you know, turn the vibrancy all the way up on the orange and the blues. Whereas when you watch the black and white version, it doesn't matter that things are only just like one of two colours because it's all just different shades of grey. So you sort of, you don't get that highly saturated feel to it. I personally was watching it and I got to the midway point in the film and thought, you know, it's still a really good film. I would just rather be watching it in colour.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. I didn't think it really made it a better experience, made it a different experience, but I don't know, felt a bit gimmicky, felt like I'd been hoodwinked a little bit. I'm not sure it is the definitive version. I think the fact that it's got these two highly contrasting colours works quite well. But yeah, that's a more enjoyable experience than Fear the Walking Dead anyway. The Walking Dead, it genuinely is. Like, it made me cross at how crap it was and how much of it I sat through before quitting.
For our main review this week, we are talking about Justice League, the latest movie in the DC Cinematic Universe. And Bruce Wayne, Batman, has to get a team together to fight an invading alien evil. Yes, that's it really. So yeah,
that's, but you don't need any more.
No, so you have Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman and the Flash, Cyborg and Superman. That's not a spoiler, is it?
Yeah, everyone knew it was going to happen. Yeah. It wasn't really,
I mean, his name's at the start of the credit, you know, at the start of the opening credits. So it's
That really corny, shitty, cheesy bit of, you know, oh, we're making a podcast. Do you got to say something for us?
Yeah.
You know, what's the best thing about being about planet Earth? Smiles and looks away. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck off. I just thought this was, of all the DCEU films so far, like head and shoulders above any of the others as the absolute pits. I thought it was terrible.
I thought it was okay, and I mean that as a compliment. I mean, I was more interested in the battle that Diana was telling about from thousands of years ago between Steppenwolf's army and the Atlanteans and the Amazons and man. That was more interesting to me than what actually happened in the film.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
You know, but You could tell that Zack Snyder left at a point for personal reasons, and Joss Whedon came on board, because it's like someone stitched two different films together.
It's, I would say, worse than that. I just feel like it had the whole confidence drained out.
But this isn't just stuff to do with the continuity issues of reshoots and Batman's beard, or Bruce Wayne's beard being different lengths at different points, and his hairstyle being different at different points.
And
the CGI lip on Superman, because he wasn't allowed to shave his moustache off from Mission Impossible.
And it looked fucking atrocious.
It did, but what our complaint is, isn't anything to do with that. They're just little things. If there's a good film, you just overlook it and laugh about it. I just don't think the kind of, I suppose, Joss Whedon Avengers Marvel style humour being put into this DC film, where they're meant to be going or are going for like a darker tone, it just didn't work. It just seemed to clash so much.
And yeah, Batman making quips all the time.
Superman making quips. It just didn't work. It's not too bad having someone in there for comic relief like the Flash was in there for, really.
There was a point where Superman and Cyborg were trying to pull apart some blocks.
Yeah.
And they started laughing and joking and making sort of awful, like, it was just terrible banter between the two of them. And I thought, someone's going to have to make a comment about how this is, they're just being stupid. And then Diana Prince, Wonder Woman, just says, oh, boys. Mm. And I thought, that's the point. I have suddenly decided I'm not into this film at all. Not one bit. I thought it was the fact that the problem people seem to have with DC movies thus far, Suicide Squad excepted, is that they're too serious, too dark, and trying to be... Like, I was talking to a friend of mine at the weekend, and he says that, you know, the problem with, like, Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman was that they were grimdark. You know, they were trying to be this super serious sort of drama with thriller stuff, you know, thriller elements in it. And the fact that in this film, probably more so than Suicide Squad, they try to make, like, characters into comedy sidekicks. It was painful. Mm. I just cringed every time Flash opened his mouth, or I just hated it. I just didn't think it fit.
The only bit of supposed comedy that I did think was all right or quite good was Aquaman being sat on the lasso of truth. I didn't mind that bit. I thought that was okay, but the rest of it just seemed so forced. It didn't seem natural. It didn't seem right for that kind of film. And if you put it into a Marvel film where the characters are more light, the films are seemingly more lighthearted, it works. I mean, perhaps those jokes weren't, because they weren't particularly very good ones, but that kind of lightheartedness works in Marvel. The characters seem more comic booky. Is that the right... they seem more... They seem more over the top and... I don't know. It just seems that humour in Marvel works.
Yeah, there is a place for humour in DC stuff. I just don't think it's necessary. Like, the fact that the tone of the films previously has not been... Like, I still think Man of Steel's a very good film. You know, the first one, the one that kicked all these movies off. I think that's very good. I like Batman vs Superman. It's not great. There are many flaws with it. If you cut out the last 50 minutes, it would be, you know, a film much better and tighter. But I still think Batman vs Superman is watchable. Suicide Squad's issue was that it was just a mess, and it didn't have any... it didn't build to anything. It just all sort of ended. And Wonder Woman's a good film. I've watched it 3 times now. And, it also has a lot of problems with the ending. But the rest of it is absolutely really just like probably the best superhero movie this year. Mm. So when Justice League comes along and you think, okay, now they get to add in Flash, they get Cyborg and Aquaman. Aquaman particularly is a character I like. Flash and Well, this version of Flash I just despised, and Cyborg as well, and this was just pathetic. And they ruined Wonder Woman. I just thought, why is she waiting for Batman to try and tell her to become the leader? Why is she sort of going, oh, you want me to do this, but I don't think I can? No. What? Why have you suddenly changed the character's personality completely? Batman himself just making jokes all the time. I just thought you've what's happened here is that either Warner Brothers have lost faith in Zack Snyder, or the fact that he wasn't 100% committed to it for obvious reasons, you know, with his daughter and stuff. I'd allow him a little bit of leeway for that. But then bringing in Joss Whedon, who tried to Avengers it, and it's not what it's supposed to be.
Joss Whedon is bringing in somebody who seems to be so different in what he wants to do to Snack. If you're replacing Zack Snyder, not because you don't like what he's doing with the film, but because he's had to leave the project for family, personal reasons, which he did, surely try and replace him or fill in for him with somebody who's going to do the same kind of thing he's going to do. Not go with something change.
Let's be honest, Joss Whedon is hit and miss himself. He doesn't always make, classics. No. You know, fair enough, Firefly and Buffy. I suppose Serenity was all right, but as a conclusion to Firefly. But Avengers Assemble, great. Possibly the best superhero movie thus far. And then Age of Ultron was not the best. I mean, so I just don't think he was right for them. I think it shows just how drastically they needed that one person's clear vision. Maybe Geoff Johns has to take some of the flack for this, because the Justice League comics that he's written are not always very good either, and they seem to be the ones that have heavily influenced this movie. I'll tell you what was also like one of the crappiest things about Justice League: Steppenwolf. What the fuck? He looked like a Power Rangers villain. Why was he CGI? Why was the whole... Yeah. He just looked... It was not even good CGI.
The other thing
it
is
was
he's just...
Bad.
I mean, this isn't a problem that's limited to this film or even DC film, but comic book films in general, the villains are always quite poor. The best one I've seen recently was Vulture in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes.
He actually had a reason for doing what he was doing. You actually found out some about him, his backstory, his life, who he was, his reasons for doing what he did. He actually seemed to have a personality beyond let's just kill people and commit crime and whatever. He actually had a purpose and a character. A lot of, even in Ragnarok, Hela was just quite, basic in terms of a villain.
Yeah.
And it's the problem that a lot of superhero movies have is that the villain is just quite...
Vanilla.
Yeah, it's just they're a bad...
Hell-bent on world destruction.
Yeah, they're a bad guy who wants to destroy the world or take over the world, and you don't find out why, you don't find out anything about their character. It's just... They're someone to be stopped, and that's what Steppenwolf was. And it's isn't a problem you can just aim at this film or DC films about villains. That's a problem with a lot of superhero films. I mean, Loki's had a few films to flesh out being a bad guy,
but he's not even like a bad guy now, is he? He's the anti-hero. Yeah.
But he can't
help being bad, and he doesn't do it to be bad. I think Brian explained it really well.
But as an antagonist, he's had a few films to develop that role.
Yeah.
Not many bad guys get that in the superhero films. And if you look back at the last one, I said Vulture was a very good one. Hela not very good. I mean, I thought the performance was quite good, but it's a very limited role. Not really much you could do with it. Doctor Strange, that wasn't particularly a great
I liked Lex Luthor in Batman vs. Superman the second time I watched it. First time I watched it, I thought he was woefully miscast. I still think he's the wrong Lex Luthor for that Batman vs. Superman. But
yeah,
he is, I think, you know, if you look at him, the way that his character works, he is a really good villain, actually. Mm. It's just a shame that they ruined it by having Doomsday and tried to just cram in that whole Death of Superman arc into like the final 20 minutes.
I'm just trying to think of recent superhero movies and which villains or bad guys you've had. And
well,
I mean, in Wonder Woman, the bad guy wasn't particularly great. It was all revealed and over quite quickly. You know, Ares, a god of war, and it was...
Yeah, well, they did hide it somewhat. But, you know, most people, I think, worked it out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, really
the wrong actor to be playing a god of war as well.
Yeah, I think that was part of their cunning plan, basically. Yeah.
But yeah, that's just a problem with superhero films that they need to look at, really, because it's just getting quite predictable. And even with the Marvel films, you think, is Thanos going to be like that? Because even though he's been around for a while, he's not really done much yet. He's not really seen much of him. He's not really been fleshed out. So he's going to be another bad guy that needs to be stopped. He's just going to be harder to stop than the other ones. And it's going to be spread over two films, but he will still be stopped. You know full well he'll be stopped. The other thing that I just didn't think it was needed, I didn't think, you know, Lois Lane could have been reduced to a cameo.
Well,
anything with her in could have just been got rid of, except for her having to help Superman when he's initially introduced into the film. Everything else with her could have just been cut out. It's just not needed.
Well, there was only like one other scene, wasn't there?
Still too much.
Yeah. Well, you know, you would have ended up with a 90-minute film instead of 2 hours, because this is the shortest one that they've put in so far.
So they are listening.
Possibly, but then do you think that worked like in its favour? Because I'm not sure it did. I think they just rushed a lot of stuff. They had a lot of characters. They had not much in the way of story for them.
No, I suppose this film was also serving as origin stories for Aquaman, Flash and Cyborg. Which is perhaps made it more difficult for them, because I know I keep comparing it to the Avengers, but it's a fair comparison, because it's the same kind of thing. And pretty much all the characters in the Avengers Assemble had a movie to introduce themselves to us. So we didn't need to be introduced to characters going into Avengers Assemble. We knew who they were. We knew what they were about. So we didn't have to have an origin to each character going into that film. It's just, right, these are these people. We know that. We can just do this film now. But in Justice League, especially for not casual film goers and not people who are into comic books, we needed to know who Aquaman is and who Cyborg is and who the Flash is.
Mm.
And they got to try and get all that into the film as well as do the rest of the film.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, okay, so what did you like about it then? Because you said that you think it's fine, it's okay.
That's a difficult question.
Yeah, can you pinpoint anything you liked about it? I hated the costumes, I hated the CGI, I hated the characterization, I hated the villain, thought the story was a load of bobbins. But you must have found stuff in it to like, to think it's okay.
No, I just thought it was okay. I just thought everything was okay. Everything was fine. Everything was average. Well, not everything, but it was okay. It was watchable. I wasn't bored. I wasn't annoyed. I didn't regret going to see it. I mean, mind you, I've got the unlimited card. I didn't actually pay to see that film per se. You know, I was never excited, enthralled, on the edge of my seat, but I was never bored. I was never wondering how long was left. I was never wanting to go. I was never thinking about other things. It was okay.
Yeah. You said you liked the bit with Aquaman when he was sat on the lasso.
Yeah. Well, in terms of the bits where they tried to be funny, I thought that was the one bit that was okay.
What about his sort of, when he went underwater and was with Mira in the, where the, box thing was, Let's call it a Tesseract, because that's basically what it is. You know, it's not a Marvel Tesseract, but that's basically what they were trying to track down. When, you know, he was underwater, went to Atlantis, fought with Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
And then his little backstory there, he's like, oh, give me a break, man, or whatever he said. And his surfer dude.
It was just quite quick, wasn't it? It was just, you know, them thinking, this is enough for us to get what Aquaman's all about. This is what his deal is.
Yep. Yep. And the stuff about Batman asking him, like, constantly if he speaks to fish.
Yeah. Atlantis looked like a shithole, though.
Didn't look great, did it? You know, you got Themyscira, which is like this paradise.
Yeah.
And then underwater, they're in this kind of murky looking, rundown old castle thing.
Yeah.
Didn't look good. I'd say that for almost all the film, didn't look good. And again, I like Zack Snyder's style. I've enjoyed it for a lot of his films. I know it seems really controversial to say it, but it shouldn't be. But I think Zack Snyder's a very good storyteller with pictures. And I just think that the way this looked was disappointing.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything good about it. Like, again, I'm going to go back to the costumes. Flash looks like a fucking, I don't know what. Just like an action figure from the 90s based on some Japanese TV show. It's just, you know, superhuman cyborg samurai squad or whatever it was called. Just something fucking dreadful like that.
Yeah.
Cyborg as well. CGI on him looked ropey. Aquaman's costume was a bit crap. I can't stress how little I think of this. And I say that as someone who's a massive like DC fan. I've always been a reader of DC comics. I've read lots of Justice League comics, and the problem they have with Justice League as is here is that they're too righteous. You know, they're doing stuff to be for good, for justice, as the name suggests, which makes them quite boring sometimes. In fact, the best Justice League comic that I've read, and it's, you can take this as a recommendation if you like, and they kind of allude to it in this film when Batman talks about having a contingency plan, is called Tower of Babel. There's a story arc called Tower of Babel, which is basically Batman has contingency plans to take down every single member of the Justice League. And he has them stored in a computer, and someone hacks the computer and begins enacting his plans to take down each member of the Justice League. And each time it makes Batman look like he's responsible. Because, you know, he would be, wouldn't he? That's the best Justice League story. It's obviously too soon to do that in this. But I think they hinted at that, so I would say look out for that as a future Justice League film.
What's next up for the DCU then? What's the next one there?
Do we have Aquaman next, and then is it the Batman?
Let's have it.
Which keeps changing writers and directors, and probably won't ever happen.
Depends how fed up Ben Affleck gets the whole thing.
Well, yeah, I read something earlier today which said that they were considering Jake Gyllenhaal for the role instead. I think that'd be a massive change.
Next,
I always thought Jake Gyllenhaal would make a good Joker. I thought he'd make a good Joker.
So this is their schedule so far. So next up, December 2018 is Aquaman. April 2019, Shazam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course, yeah. With The Rock as Black Adam, I think.
November 2019, Wonder Woman 2. April 2020, Cyborg. July 2020, Green Lantern Corps.
The Green Lantern Corps, I think that is. And you get to see a bit of them in this film as well, don't you? Yeah. In that bit that you quite like, the retelling of the war, the initial war against Steppenwolf.
And then they've got a lot of undated films in the pipeline. So we've got Batgirl, which Joss Whedon is doing. We've got The Batman, which, Black Adam, Flashpoint.
Flashpoint, that's going to be awful. I mean, the story itself. Do you know Flashpoint? Do you know what it is?
No.
It was the precursor to the new 52 comics.
Right.
So when DC rebooted their comics line, the Flashpoint event was, to put it in layman's terms, was when a load of universes collided.
Right.
And you got to see various different versions of characters. For example, you got to see Aquaman was a bad guy, and you got to see Thomas Wayne was Batman, and Bruce Wayne, his son, was the one that was killed by Joe Chill outside of the Phantom of the Menace. Phantom of the Menace, Phantom of the Menace, Phantom of the Menace, Phantom of the Menace.
Obviously, because I was ill, I said Phantom of the Menace, and I meant Phantom of the Opera before anyone tweets in.
You know, different versions of the same heroes. But I just don't think the characters are going to be established enough, but people aren't going to care about them enough
to see these different versions. Gotham City Sirens.
Okay.
We've got a Justice League Dark, which is being written by Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, yes. That could be quite interesting.
It certainly sounds interesting. We've got Nightwing. Mm-hmm. Nightwing is Robin before after he left Batman and stopped being Robin, isn't it?
Yeah, it was Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
The one who was the trapeze artist whose family were killed in the circus and Batman adopted.
Suicide Squad 2. An untitled Deadshot film, an untitled Deathstroke film, an untitled Harley Quinn and the Joker film, an untitled Justice League sequel, an untitled Lobo film. I don't know what Lobo is.
He is a base bounty hunter of sorts. Think like Deadpool, but like turned up to 11.
Okay, and we've got an untitled Man of Steel sequel. All of those undated, those ones, so we don't know when those
Give
ones
it-
are happening.
Give it three films before they reboot it, I think.
Yeah.
I think they'll get three films in, three further films in, and then they'll just go, this isn't working.
Right, okay.
And we'll start again. Either in terms of getting rid of most of the actors and recasting, or by changing creative teams behind it. I think the issue they've got is Geoff Johns is still there, and whilst he's still there, we're still going to get this style of film. But, you know, not to say Geoff Johns hasn't done anything good. He has written some good comics, some good Superman comics. But, yeah, it's his... I mean, I just read... Like, after the New 52 came out, I stopped reading the DC comics because I just got a bit bored of them. They were just too... They were basically... I don't know. They just lost a bit of soul.
Yeah.
And... The same, the way they felt is how these new DCEU films feel,
yeah.
Largely. Except Wonder Woman. I think that's slightly different. But then, like, they rebooted the comics again recently. Like, again, they got rid of all the new 52 stuff and had a new event, Rebirth. And I read a bit of that and I just thought it's just not good. It's just like, I understand why. You know, it's a good way to wipe out a load of clutter and sort of contradictory or stories that don't really mesh up anymore because they've got so many years of history and you start again clean. Some of that stuff you can keep and some you can get rid of. But it just makes it more convoluted, in my opinion. And I think that what is clearly going to happen is they're going to reboot it. They may do Flashpoint sooner and Flashpoint will be the reboot.
Yeah.
Because it gives them an opportunity to wipe out some of the continuity and start again, start afresh. But that's what they do all the time. They had Final Crisis, Infinite Crisis, you know, Crisis on Infinite Worlds. They're just end of the crisis in the film world, and it'll mesh all the different things together. It's just a handy get-out clause,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. That's pretty much it for this week's Failed Critics podcast. Just recommendations to go. I'm going for... Friday night, more for 9 o'clock, is Rush, the Formula One movie.
With Thor.
With Thor. Give that a watch. And Owen?
I'm going for Channel 4 rather than More 4, and Saturday rather than Friday, but at 9 p.m. as well. Ex Machina,
yes.
Starring Domhnall Gleeson, Oscar Isaac, Felicia Vikander. Sci-fi film about a billionaire genius creates an AI and gets an employee to perform a sort of Turing test on him.
Very good film. Sexy robots.
A sexy robot and Domhnall Gleeson. Yeah.
But yeah, very good film. We'll be back at a point doing another podcast.
Yeah, maybe.
TBC. Until then, enjoy your films.
Enjoy
your films.
The Failed Critics Podcast is presented by Steve Norman and Owen Hughes, with contributions from different guests every week, with original music provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com from the track The Bandit, remixed by James Yule, who you can find at jamesyule.com. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Failed Critics, on iTunes and all good podcast apps, or you can check us out at failedcritics.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave a rating or a review. And why not check out our sister podcasts, Character Unlock and Field & Mullinger's Underground Nights, from the Failed Media Network of Podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.